Hey, it's Joey back again for the Ed Show at MMS, and I am joined with Adam Hall, Corey DeLamarter, and we are going to talk some applications.
Applications.
Now, I'm an IT pro guy. I'm a little nervous over here, Adam. We start talking applications. That's one of these things that IT pro guys aren't necessarily, really fond of at the moment, right?
Yeah. So applications shouldn't be scary. I think this is part of the new wave in the future. And looking at the way that we develop and deploy applications in the cloud context, it's not a real scary topic. It's more moving forward. It's a journey we've been on for a long time. And we're moving away from the IT pro, the back guy, standing in a data center behind a server, and there was an application over there, and you deploy a bunch of machines out and basically go, well, I'm done, and then hand it over. Opening up that partnership between the back-end guy who's doing the server and the application. And we showed in the keynote having Ryan and Vijay on stage at the same time, breaking down those barriers between the IT pro and the application owner and saying, look, guys, you now got to get together and talk about things and work together to deliver these new applications and really get them out there to deliver on the business.
Yeah. One of the things, sorry, go ahead, Corey.
Well, yeah, to add to that, so the opportunity for the IT pro, especially when looking at what System Center 2012 has, is we're actually starting to bring the language of application and fabric in to the conversation. So when we're meeting with teams that are saying, hey, I need more capacity, I need to roll out the next version of my app, we can actually kick off that conversation as well and say, well, have you considered things like Windows Azure? Have you heard about things like what we're doing with VMM and opportunities like that? So we actually get to shift that conversation a little bit as well.
So Corey, you're with Microsoft IT.
That's right, yeah.
Our internal IT organization within the company. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing and have been doing, and particularly as we start talking about cloud, and we can talk in cloud context, the reality is,
absolutely,
doesn't matter where it is, right? It can be public cloud, it can be private cloud. Let's kind of go into this story and talk a little bit, talk about the applications and some of the things that you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as Brad alluded to this morning, we've been on this long progression of starting with Hyper-V, getting more and more virtualization, deploying Virtual Machine Manager, and building out this fabric on-premise for a number of years, to the point where we're actually over 50% virtualized in our data centers. We're talking about 28,000 or more systems, half of those virtual machines, and that's growing significantly, whereas our physical server footprint's actually on the decline. And then with the introduction of Windows Azure and the all-in statement, obviously, in our organization, there's been a lot of talk within IT about how do we do that? What are those steps going to look like? Can we take applications, literally toss them all in? What's that process going to look like? And then so that's the conversation within the application engineering teams. And then us in IT, we're trying to figure out, okay, we've got this on-premise business we know. We've got the cloud paradigm coming into play. We've also got public providers we can work with. How do we take the skills that we have, either build on them? What are new skills that we're going to need to leverage, new technologies that we're going to need to leverage to get our job done? So that's kind of the full blend of the conversation.
I think Corey just raised a good point around the skill sets and looking at what does this cloud context mean for an IT pro, and what does the application space mean for an IT pro? And take something like the application we used in the keynote, standard application that exists today. There's three tiers to it. It's got a web front end, a web server sort of a transactional layer, and then a database at the back end. Three virtual machines, three parts to an app. In the old world, that would be, hey, here's your three virtual machines, go do what you want. When we move to the service template construct, which is really just a way of encapsulating all the information about an application, what are the virtual machines, how much hardware capacity do you need, CPU, RAM, disk, that kind of thing, what are all the application components, all the MSI packages, the server at V packages, the networking config, the IP addresses, put that all together into a bucket and call it a service template. That's what it is. That is a conversation between the IT guys who do the infrastructure, the networking guys, the storage guys, the application owner, the developer. Everyone gets together and says, this is what it is. That's a new skill set that everyone needs to learn. And for an IT pro, they can really be the hero here, because they own the underlying platform. They know how this all actually works. They're responsible for the operationalization of the app. Getting an app out there, part one. Once the app's out there, now what? How do you back it up? How do you monitor it? How do you make sure it's performing okay? And in the keynote, we talked about the difference between availability and performance. Green dashboard, 5 nines of availability, the app's up and running, right? Well, the virtual machines are running, and it appears to be okay, but then Corey logs onto the app and it's like, wow, that took ages. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Moving to be able to see why is the app slow.
That user experience is a key point, actually, as all this change is happening on under the application, still making sure that, you know, if you haven't been paying close attention to that user experience, what can you do to monitor that and detect when something's gone wrong with it? And as applications are moving to, you know, different fabrics, be it public or private, ensuring that you're not regressing on the experience they're used to, right? So if you got all the elasticity or flexible goodness out of a cloud, but you had to log into five different interfaces to get it, or suddenly your response time, you know, is much slower, it's obviously not going to be acceptable. So, you know, kind of evaluating all aspects of what do the app developer need, what is that user used to, and what are the key points you can't regress on.
We're really kind of changing the paradigm a little bit in terms of that application development lifecycle.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, today, reality is we get our budget for the year. We go and we look and we say, all right, there's six projects on the list. What's our budget? Right? The budget, okay, budget's $5,000 for the year. We go and pick off the one project that we can get done for the $5,000, right? Because really today, realistically, to develop an application in a lot of businesses, we don't know necessarily how to properly size that. We go out and buy the biggest, baddest server that $5,000 is going to allow us, and then we try to shove this application down
in
there.
Yeah, and that conversation that the IT pros really, to be honest, struggle to have with the app owner, where they go to them with that approach, which is, hey, I've got this big server, what do you want to put on it? Turning that around and saying, so for that $5,000, what does, and it's a procurement process, if you will, what have we got over the next 6 months, next 9 months? Let's pull that all together and go, so over the next 6 months, we've got these things to deliver on. What are the business cycles? One of the big cloud kind of storylines, if you look at a business cycle, a retailer might go nuts on Black Friday and at Christmas time and holidays, and where a lot of transactions come through in a very small space of time, and then afterwards they just peter back down and they're sitting there. Do you buy that big piece of hardware that supports 100% capacity for 100% of the time? Or do you buy a pool of resource and say, well, finance runs a monthly transaction to do the update, and retail runs this thing every three times a year. Let's have a pool of resource that allows finance to go like this and retail to go like that, but overall, you've got this one set of capacity. Now the IT pros go into the business saying, we understand what you do. We understand what these cycles look like, and we've got a way to deal with all of this and be really efficient with the way we do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, historically, the joke has always been, you know, the IT pro is either the guy who's telling you, no, you can't buy that hardware, no, you can't have that capacity, it's too expensive, or we're the guy that, you know, when it fails because there's a capacity reason, well, you know, why didn't you get me a bigger server or something along those lines? You know, so you're kind of getting hit on both ends.
Yeah.
Well, now as you start talking about a cloud solution, we've actually got a lot of knobs, and we get to really change our role and say, hey, you know, don't worry about the capacity aspect of the conversation. Worry about the design of your application. If you need five boxes to get the job done, you know, we can turn that dial up. If, you know, over a given weekend or a given period you need 20, we can turn it up again, and then we can turn it back down, and we can change, you know, our reputation to being one of, you know, kind of the person in the middle, to an enabler, exactly, and helping folks just, you know, capacity, all that just becomes sort of an ongoing, you know, part of the business as opposed to this monolithic thing you do once. Mm. And then, you know, it kind of haunts you for the rest of your deployment.
And watching, you know, the Twitter feeds this morning during the keynote and so forth, the comment around, but wow, is that easy? Is that hard? Like, is that real? That was a keynote demo stage, right? Nobody does that. We've had early adopters. We've had a lot of MSIT involvement. Customers are doing this. And, you know, we've got TAP customers. We've got a session here at MMS around what TAP to customers have done and what they've got out of it. Things like monitoring the transactions going through a retail system. Every time a transaction fails in retail, that's money lost for the business.
Sure.
There's a hard line. You either made the sale or you did not. How many people at a website go to buy something and the transaction times out? Do you try again or do you go do something else and forget about it? And there's some really good data around drop-offs and customers and websites, but also in retail stores as well. I'm not going to buy from you. You can't even do my transaction, right? Mm-hmm. Monitoring that and really showing that you can see inside the transaction to see what's going on, and that three-way triangle of the IT pro, the application owner, and the developer. At the moment, you've got three silos. They develop an app and chuck it across the fence. The IT pro tries to catch it and say, yeah, I can run that. The app owner's going, why is it running slow? And they're like, it's you, right?
Yep.
breaking that down to say, guys, we've got the information. We know it's not hardware. We know it's not CPU or RAM. There's a line of code issue. Or, hey, there's no line of code issue. It must be CPU or RAM or disk. And being able to say, there's the problem. Let's all look at the same screen and see that same piece of information. That's real today, and that's out of the box, and that's really what we're delivering with System Center 2012. And Brad said in the keynote, we're not stopping there. There's more to come. Mm-hmm. And this is part of a journey we've been on for a long time. We've done the GA of 2012 now. We've named Server 2012. We can talk about that. Looking ahead, this is the start of a journey. Getting on board, learning how this all comes together, and then moving forward to the next generation again. That's really going to be where the IT pro is going to come to the fore. And I really think this is going to be the year of the IT pro to shine.
Yeah, I agree. Craig, I want to kind of pile on to that a little bit. Get your kind of real world experience. You've had to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And inside of MSIT, I can't imagine, I mean, yes, it is Microsoft and we have, you know, the software is available to us, but you still have to deal with applications. You still have to deal with end users. Probably even harsher end users than in a lot of other places. Sure is. We're all, a lot of us are techie geeky guys, right? So we're all tinkering and so
yes,
on and so forth.
There's no one that's not an admin, right?
Right, exactly right. When we go through and you've gone through some of these deployments, what are some of the things that you, as our internal IT guys, kind of struggled with and had to do? And then on the flip side of that, what were some of the tools and things that made these transitions to a cloud world, whether it be public or private, easier for some of these applications?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the first thing I should say is it definitely hasn't just been an I, it's been a huge collection of folks involved in the kind of assessment of, and you know, everything from architects to engineers to operations folks, you know, and app developers. So, and you know, some of the initial considerations are just one of, and I'll focus, I guess, specifically on kind of our Windows Azure efforts that we've been involved in. But this idea of, okay, traffic and authentication is not just happening in, you know, CorpNet now. It's not just confined to the kind of walls of our data centers and our buildings. And so we've got this round trip over the internet. There's some, you know, volatility there we kind of worry about and we wonder what it's going to be like. And then just adding that into the, you know, round trip that any user is going to have to go through. So right off the bat, network team needed to understand, you know, what's that change in traffic going to look like? What are the different things we're going to need to do to brace for that kind of change in ingress and egress and so forth for our users? And then secondly, authentication, right? ADFS and our ability to basically take your single sign-on. You can authenticate to components of an app or a whole app, regardless of whether it's running in Windows Azure or on-premise, has been a big deal for us. Actually, one of the apps we transitioned is something that, you know, come every September we all use, right?
Yeah.
And you just logged in, and unless you were paying close attention to the URL up in the tool, you had no idea what was happening, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was referring to a little bit earlier when I said that user experience can't regress, because it doesn't matter how cool that fabric is.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perceived as cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, so, I mean, those have been the big challenge. And then obviously, I mean, you're giving your baby away, right? You're taking your app and you're putting it into a cloud, on-premise, off-premise, whatever it is. You can't, you don't stop caring about whether that thing's running, obviously. And even, especially, it helps to ease people's sort of, you know, uncertainties to have insight into how it's running. And so monitoring, obviously, the fact that there was a management pack day one, like day, you know, 0-10 or whatever, it was fantastic for us to be able to just give people information, build up their confidence, and then now, you know, start considering some more proactive, a detect when we're running out of capacity. Saw some really interesting demonstrations that show capabilities to automatically scale up and scale down depending on circumstances. So, network, authentication, monitoring, and then our capacity management discipline, right? You've got all these new knobs you're going to dial. It's the responsibility of our IT shop to understand how we're spending our dollars and to manage that responsibly. And so getting purview over that, and then ultimately, like I said, kind of moving in that consult role, it's going to be a huge shift for us in the value we bring to these conversations.
It's not a shift that's going to happen overnight.
Right? Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is not something where we're going to go, hey, tomorrow we're going to do a cloud and we're going to move everything. This is a transition that we're going to go through. We've been on the journey for a while. The technology is really starting to go faster. It's not like we just spin a top and magically it goes faster. This is a big Ferris wheel that takes a while to go around. And this is a journey to get onto. And you got to start, you know, every journey starts with the first step. And the first step is to start learning, to start trialing, to get to know what's possible, and then work out what your target apps are, what are the ones that are due for a refresh, the ones that are causing causing the most pain and picking your targets and getting some success under the belt. You know, the IT pro can lead that conversation because they know where the problems are. These are the guys that are in the operations manager console and are seeing the red alerts.
Right.
They're the guys that are getting woken up at 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning because something's gone wrong, right? They know where the problems are. Learning about what's possible, figuring out how to do that, taking on the onboard, the new MCSEs, all that kind of stuff. Learn, test, develop, pick up all the evals and learn that stuff. Start the journey now.
This has been awesome. We could sit here and talk for hours, but they're telling us that it's time. We've hit our time. Guys, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Of course, as always, folks at home, you're going to want to make sure you want to comment on this video. If you got more questions for these guys, we'll feed it to them. And, of course, at TN Edge on Twitter. Guys, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Corey.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.